This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وهذا كتاب أنزلناه مبارك فاتبعوه واتقوا لعلكم ترحمون.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Firstly, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last couple of sessions, we spoke about the greed of wealth. Then we spoke about wealth in general and how wealth has been mentioned in the Quran. Today's session is going to be something that follows on from that, which is that people have desires. People get sucked into this world. People get sucked into, the life and whatever it's surrounding it. And to be honest with you, I'm going to say something which might shock a lot of you. The antidote of that, which is like the thing that we need to, the medicine, right? The medicine we need is actually the remembrance of death. The medicine to all of these, the medicine to your worries, right, is the remembrance of death. Some of you might be thinking, what's he talking about? That's our biggest problem, right? How can you be remembering death when that's like the worst thing that can happen to us? And then after that, you're telling us that the worst thing that's going to come to us in our lives, the remembrance of death, is our medicine to all these desires and all these things that we're sucked into. You're telling us even if you've got problems, you're telling us that that is going to be the medicine. Well, I'm saying exactly that. And you got to know how to look at it. Okay? You got to know how to look at it. Because I'm going to give you the hadith a little later. But let me tell you how it works. If I was to say to you, you're a free man. If I was to say to you that you're going to be going to prison. And if the date of your prison, going to prison comes, so let's say today you're going to prison, and right now you're going to go into prison, how are you going to feel? You're going to feel, oh my God, I'm at a loss, a great loss. I'm losing my family, I'm losing my freedom, I'm losing my house, I'm losing my comfort, losing my good food, I'm losing my friends, I'm losing my, the comfort, just going out, I'm losing all of that. And I'm going to be constrained into this one place, prison. It's going to be a very bad thing for you to think of you that you know, going from freedom into prison is a very bad thing. Now, let me twist it over. If I said to you, you're in prison and your release date is coming, how are you going to feel? You're going to be very happy. Let's say today is your release date. You're going to be thinking, you know what? I'm looking forward to it. I want to get out of this place. I haven't had good food here. I haven't had, comfort here. My bed, is very, hard. I've got a very constrained space. Tomorrow, I'm going to go out. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go out to the world. I'm going to go to the parks. I'm going to, fly on a plane. I'm going to do all these things. So it's freedom. Freedom is coming. And what's the thing that, what's the two things that I said to you? One was from your house or from your free life to prison. And the other one was from prison to the free life, right? Now, death is exactly the same for everyone who's listening to this. You're either going from your free life into a prison once death comes, or you're going from a prison to free life. So let me tell you how it works. If I see this world as my biggest comfort, if I see this world as the biggest comfort, right? And I see everything around me. Oh, I'm loving this. I'm loving my wealth. I'm loving my job. I'm loving my, my life here. I'm loving all the things that my friends, my family, my comfort, my house and all that. All these things that yes. Right. So I've made that my comfort. And then I'm seeing death and I'm going to lose all of this. Right. then death to me sounds like a very bad place to go to, because I'm going to lose all my family. I want to be alone in the akhirah. I'm going to be alone in my grave. Alone in the akhirah, I'm having no one, no mom, no dad, no friend, no family, no comfort, no nothing. Oh my God, cold grave, you know, dark, whatever. I don't know where I'm going to be. Now that's scary. That's like you going from free life towards a prison. But if you live the life according to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And he said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min." He said, "The dunya is the prison of a believer." So, how you feel as a believer is, this is how you feel. Because I know even most believers don't understand how to look at it. So let me tell you how you look at it. How you should feel is, right? I've got a house here, but I've got many, many houses in Jannah. I've got houses of silver, of gold, of rubies, of diamonds, of emeralds. I've got all of that. I've got, let's say, a wife here. I've got 72 over there. Minimum, brothers, minimum. This is minimum. Things are above that, this is minimum. I've got, you know, my comforts here. Let's say, for example, I've got my bed here, right? Over there, the comforts are going to be that I'll never need to sleep again. I've got enjoyment here, right? I taste something, I like it. Over there, it's endless tasting, endless sweetness. So you taste the same fruit again, again, and each time you get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. The same fruit, sweeter and sweeter, 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 sweeter. No diabetics. And no diabetics, thank you. No sweet, no toothache, no diabetics, no stomachache, no going to the toilet, no going to the toilet, no cleaning. You got cleaning to do here every time. You have to clean this, that. Over there, Jannah, no clean. No one ever cleans. There's no cleaners in Jannah. If you're a cleaner, you're not going to get a job in Jannah. I'm sorry. You think about it, like their life, if you're a believer, and how you feel is this. Look, I can't drink alcohol. As a believer, I can't drink alcohol. I sometimes watch these guys, you know, out there, the drinking, the this, the that, right? Of course, you get drunk here. In Jannah, you don't get drunk, by the way, yeah? But they're drinking here, they're enjoying themselves, they're laughing, this and that, right? Now, alhamdulillah, I have never had the temptation of ever to drink. But if you think about it, like drinking, the like sleeping with whatever women you want, the going out there and you know, gambling, going and just wasting your money, going out there and taking whatever, you know, getting on a high, whatever. These people that do this, or are clubbing, dating, dancing, whatever they do, I can't do any of that. I'm restricted. So the Prophet ﷺ said, my life is like a prison. I'm restricted from all of these things. I can't go out there and you know, do things that all these other people out there are doing. No, I'm restricted. I have to check what's halal. I have to check what's haram. I have to take the halal. I have to leave the haram. I have to stay. I have to control my tongue. I have to, you know, be careful what I say. I'm angry. I want to. Allah's watching me. You know what I'm saying? It hurts, man. It hurts. I'm restricted. I'm restricted with my actions. I'm restricted. I want to watch this. I want to sit and relax, watch this. Maghrib comes. I've got to get up and pray Maghrib. I'm restricted. It's like a prisoner. When he goes, Deen, come out your cells and say your name. So they're going to walk out of the cells. They're going to say their name, right? They're going to do routine. It's routine. Allah said to me, Maghrib, I've got to get up and do Maghrib. I'm restricted. So I'm in a prison. And the day I get out of this world, if I prepared for it. Now, the whole thing is whether you prepared for it. Now, this is the big thing. These people, a lot of people, when they have a death in the family, and nobody really looks at it like this. I'll tell you a new way of looking at death. And you look forward to death if you look at it like this. Hopefully, inshallah. You know, you have a death in the family. Let's say, for example, my mother passes away. When my mother passes away, then I think, wow, you know, I think, inna lillahi, look at the family now. Got no mother, no one here. The family is missing. And so it's a big tragedy. And she's lost her, you know, connection with her sons. She's lost connection with her husband. Or she's lost connection with her brother, sister, whatever. And everyone's crying and so on. What you don't know is that she has got a bigger family on the other side waiting for her. In Illiyin, if her family members were good, then in Illiyin, which has been discussed in the Quran, in Surah Mutaffifin, Surah number 83, Illiyin, there's a bigger family. Like they say, her mom, her dad, her granddad, her grandmother, her uncles, her aunts, all her cousins, all those cousins, all those ancestors that have gone beyond her, before her, anyone before her, if they end in Illiyin, they're waiting for her. Once she goes there, she sees it's a bigger family than what I left in the dunya. And it turns the whole of death around when you look at it like that. So when she's lost you and you've lost her, you've got to understand that you're a small family here. You're a very small family here. And the biggest family you've got is in the akhirah, if you can make it in the right place. So now death turns itself on its head. Like, I don't look at death the same way if you look at it like this. I'll tell you another way to look at it. If my Quran connection is good, I've practiced in the Quran, I've tried my best to do what the Quran says, I've done my salah, I've done my fast, I've done the five pillars of Islam, then I've been good to people, I've been good to my neighbors, I've been good to my, you know, to people who are close to me, I've tried not to hurt them, I've forgiven people, I've tried to be kind to people, generous to people, I've done my bit. Okay, sometimes I fail, every human fails, but most of all, I've tried my best to keep connection with the Quran. Do you know what? Soon as you go to the grave, the biggest light in the grave is the Quran. Imagine this. Biggest light, friend, the biggest, closest friend. You won't find a better friend than the Quran. You won't find a better friend than Salah. Hadith tells us, Salah will come as a person with nur and light to you in the grave. Quran will come. Rasulullah used to say a dua. Sahaba used to say a dua after they used to finish the Quran. Allahumma anis wahshati bil Quran al-azim. Allahumma anis wahshati fil qabri bil Quran al-azim. Or kama qal. They would say, oh Allah, remove the fear that we might have in our graves through the Quran. Because the Quran is the only one that can give me that companionship. Anis means that give me some good companionship from the fear that I will have to be alone in the grave. Then on the day of judgment, the Quran holds your hand. The biggest friend you've got, look, there's a sun 1 mile above your head. The Surah Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran comes out of the Quran, gives you shade straight away. This is the Quran, this is your friend. Straight away gives you shade from the sun. Then the Quran holds your hand. And if you practice the Quran holds your hand according to a few hadith. And these are sound hadith. The Quran holds your hand, goes with you when your name comes, your Quran takes you there. What is the Quran? Quran is Allah's word. So Allah's word takes you in front of Allah, then it's your hisab, it's your judgment. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, O servant, why did you do this? O servant, why didn't you do this? O servant, the Quran speaks. The Quran says, O Allah, he was a good person. He did this, he did that. He treated me well, he practiced me. He brought me in his life. He did his best. And the hadith says the Quran is a lawyer. And it's not just lawyer, it's a very convincing lawyer. And the Quran will argue and argue and argue and say, Oh Allah, no. Take him, I want him to go to Jannah. I'm your word, I want him to go to Jannah. And it's Allah's word, Allah is doing this to demonstrate to us our connection to the Quran. And then the Quran wins the argument. It's Allah's word, his own word against him. The Quran wins the argument. Then the Quran holds the person and takes him to Jannah. But if the person neglected the Quran, deserted the Quran stands up on the day of judgment. The Quran comes and holds him from behind his neck and argues in front of Allah. Says, no, this person neglected me, deserted me, didn't practice me, didn't do what I said. And then the Quran is the one that flung him headlong into the fire. Now, if I've prepared for my afterlife, think about this. All you people, mashallah, alhamdulillah, you prayed Isha, you're in the masjid. You're going to pray Fajr tomorrow morning. If you're doing your bit, whatever best, to the best you can, no one's telling you to be perfect. If you're doing the best you can, and you read the Quran, you read its message, and you're trying to follow what it's saying, then you look at beyond death. When you look beyond death, you see light, you see freedom, you see friend of the Quran, you see your own salah is going to be there on the day of judgment. In the grave, any snakes come, salah is going to save you, protect you from the snakes. That's in hadith. You see on the day of judgment, your closest people are the prophets, Siddiqeen, the truthful ones, shuhada, salihin. You look forward to meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You look forward to being in his company, in the anbiya's company, meeting Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, every Zakariya alayhi salam, all the anbiya, one by one, being in the company. You look forward to being with them and going to Jannah. It's not mama, papa. No mama, papa. No brother, sister. No, 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 no. Your family is different. You don't look at that as your family. You look at them as your family, your friends, your role models, the people who will save you. It's like if you're a young kid right now and you're in this hall, you know, you're going to say, where's my mom? Where's my dad? Mom, dad. You're a young kid. You can't see anyone who you recognize. Anyone who you recognize, you'll go to them. Anyone you don't recognize, you're going to be frightened. In the akhirah, people don't recognize mom and dad. People will run away from their mom and dad. People run away from the brother and sister. According to the Quran, Surah Abbas, Allah said, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِي وَأُمِّي وَأَبِي. From your own wife you're running away, from your husband you're running away. These are the people you want to be with. When you have that concept in your head, and the whole world is based around akhirah, Allah, I've kept Allah happy. I've brought the sunnah of the Prophet in my life. I've practiced the Quran as best as I can. You know what? Death is a release from your problems. From the constraint of this world. Now, then you come back to this world. Now let me show you what's in this world. You're here, right? Either your wife gives you trouble or your husband gives you trouble, right? Your children give you trouble. You gave them everything you got. You gave them everything, and then some of them give you trouble, right? You spent on someone and that one bites your hand. You help someone and those people don't appreciate it. You try and work all your life just to keep someone happy and it's never enough, right? You go through all of this. I'm not saying everyone's in this boat, but everyone has different kind of problems, right? Some people have problems of health, this, that, whatever it is. But you go through all of that and then you know what? This is this dunya. You look at it like that. That this is not true comfort. And you look at, I'm looking forward to go to my akhirah. Wow. It's release from this world to the next world. Now look at death. Now listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, right? And this is for the people who are people who are believers, people who are doing what they're supposed to do, right? So this is a hadith in Tirmidhi. It's got a good chain, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, "Istakthiru zikra hadhi min ladhat." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, increase the amount of remembrance you have for the destroyer of your desires in this world. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ ذَكَرِ He's talking about death. Increase the amount of remembrance you have for the destroyer of desires, meaning the destroyer of desires in this world. فَإِنَّهُ مَا ذَكَرَهُ أَحَدٌ For no person will remember death at the moment when they're feeling constraint in this world, except that death, the remembrance of death, will bring them an expansion. It will release them. وَلَا ذَكَرَهُ فِي سَعَةِ إِلَّا ضَيَّقَهَا عَلَيْهِ And no person who's in the... Let's say, for example, you're comfortable. Let's say you're mashallah, alhamdulillah, Allah's giving you a comfortable life. Say alhamdulillah, brothers. Alhamdulillah. Let's say you're in that life. The Prophet then says, you won't be in any great expansion and comfort of the world except when you remember death, it will wake you up again. It will constrain you and it will make you think, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm getting too comfortable in this world. And the ulama have said, the love of this world is a disease. The world is not a disease. The love of the world is a disease. And they've said that the antidote, the cure of that is to remember death. Right? And this session today is how the Quran makes us think about death and how it makes us see reality. Because the Quran, is amazed. It's amazed that people who deny this Quran, people who say, well, whatever, whatever. Allah says, this is in the Quran, Surah Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayah number 28. Allah says, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ How do you deny Allah? How? وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا You were dead before you lived. And he wakes you up. He makes you think, I had no existence. So that's the first thing Quran tells you is, think you came from non-existence into existence. Then Allah says, فَأَحْيَاكُمْ He brought you into existence. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ And then I'll make you non-existent again. I'll show you that you're nothing. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ And then I'll make you come to existence again. So death makes us die. At the end of this life, we're going to die. Then after that, he's going to bring us back to life again. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ Then to nobody else except for Allah, you will return. Now the power of this part of the Quran is what? Allah didn't say, ثُمَّ تُرْجَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ Then you're going to be returned to him. He didn't say that. He said, then to him you shall return. Meaning you've got no other place to return. And all these kind of theories, you know, you got these theories about karma. And theories about, what's that theory that you go into another body after you die? Reincarnation. Yeah? There's no reincarnation. According to the belief of the Quran, absolutely no reincarnation. Don't think you're going to end up anywhere else. And some people think, you're like, I tell you one big waswasa that comes to people. And it happens to believers as well. It's like, you know, I'm doing all of this here. Imagine I wake up. Yeah? And it wasn't the right thing. I'm in the wrong place, whatever. Where are you going to wake up, my friend? Tell me. If you wake up, I'll tell you this, if you wake up, yeah, and then you think, well, there's 3 billion Christians on the earth, and maybe they were right, and I wake up, and all the Christians are, you know, making it to paradise, well, I'm a Muslim, and I'm left behind, right? Right? You haven't studied the Quran, my friend. You haven't studied the Quran. You want to see what the Quran says about Isa alayhi salam. When Isa alayhi salam will be brought in front of Allah, and Allah will say, "Anta qulta lin-nasi, anta qulta." Were you the one that said to people, "Ittakhidhu, take me, and take"? تَإِتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَٰهِينَ Did you say, oh Jesus, did you say that take me and take my mother as two gods besides Allah? Did you say that? When Allah will ask that question, this is in Surah Ma'idah, Surah number 5, ayah number 116. قَالَ سُبْحَانَكْ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أَقُولَ مَا لَيْسَ بِالْحَقِّ This is Isa alayhi salam, who will say, you know, سُبْحَانَكْ, you know, you are free from all blame. And I'm telling you that there's no way I would be able to ever say this. إِن كُنْتُ قُلْتُهُ فَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ If I ever said it, Allah, you know that. تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِ You know what's inside me, and I don't know what's in your exalted being. And so on, and he gives the answer saying that, look, I never said that. This is Isa, Ibn Maryam, the leader. Now, the thing is, if you're a Muslim, you think, well, I'm going to wake up. And I see that there's nothing there. Tell me this, yeah? Would you rather, like, you know, when Fir'aun was doing his whatever cruelty he was doing, and a man amongst his own council stood up, and he's trying to give Fir'aun da'wah, and he said to him, and this breaks your whole concept of, you know, what happens if any of this is wrong? What happens if you followed Islam, we got to the end, and then the atheists were right, we're dead and we're bones and we're dead, gone. Right? So he says a wonderful thing. He says to him, وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ مِّنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَهُ Right? This believing person said, this is Surah number 40, ayah number 28. He says to Fir'aun and his council, he says, وَإِنْ يَكُ كَاذِبًا فَعَلَيْهِ كَذِبُ If Moses is saying a lie, then Moses' lie will come to haunt him in the end. He's lying to us that there's an akhirah. He's lying to us. Let's suppose he's lying to us. There's no akhirah. Well, in the end, when Moses dies, then Moses does not see an akhirah. Okay, we don't see an akhirah, and he doesn't see an akhirah. All right, we all die, end, finished, we're dead, we're gone, eyes never open again. Moses is dead, we're dead, he doesn't see akhirah, we don't see akhirah. Okay, fair and square. Then he says, وَإِن يَكُوا صَادِقًا يُسِبْكُمْ بَعْضُ الَّذِي يَدْعِدُكُمْ But if Moses was telling the truth, we both die, we both open our eyes, and then Moses is telling the truth, then this is the Akhirah, then whatever he promised in the Akhirah is going to befall us. We're in big trouble. Big trouble. You guys understand that? Right? It's a very simple equation. What about if all this is wrong? What about if we wake up in the grave and wrong? What do you mean, what about if you wake up in the grave? What are you talking about? This, you know, you know, sometimes believers do have doubts. I understand that. But you know what? This Quran, when you study the Quran, wow, the impact it has. I'll tell you what impact it has, right? The Quran said, this is in Surah in Surah number 62, ayah number 6 to 8. Allah Azza wa Jalla said,
قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ.
Allah said, tell them, O Muhammad, tell them, O people who, you know, who are from the Jewish religion, the Jewish religion in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said, oh, you people who are Jewish people, because they said, look, ours is enough. We don't need to believe in Islam. So Allah said, well, if you think that you are the closest to God, let's say, for example, one of us thinks that, okay, I'm really close to God. I'm really close to God. Then this will happen. If you're really close to God, let's say Allah is close to me. I feel I'm really close to Allah. I'm really, really close to Allah. Then Allah says this,
فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ.
Then say to Allah, oh Allah, I love you so much. I want you to send me the angel of death so that I can meet you. Does that make sense or it doesn't make sense? If a guy is really close to Allah and is feeling that, you know what, life's man, you know, I've had it with these people, yeah? Allah said, okay, they say to Allah, give me death. No problem, because you're going to be in a better place, right? Then Allah says this. He says,
قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ.
Tell them, O Muhammad, tell them, the very death that they are running away from, tell them that death is going to come and finally meet you somewhere. It's going to come and meet you.
ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَى عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ.
And then all of you will be returned to the knower of the unseen and the seen, the one who knows everything, and then he will tell you about the actions that you did. Now, subhanAllah, you think about this ayah, how powerful it is. Like, where are you running to? Like, think of it as a believer, as a person who's a Muslim, right? Where are you running to? Where are you going to go? So let's just say, for example, this is a tester. This is the tester to see whether I'm too attached to this world. If I had a real choice right now, and I could say to Allah, oh Allah, like, let's say real choice, okay? Think about the two places I said, right? One is going from freedom life to prison, and the other one from prison to free life. One is going from the constraints of this world to the openness of the akhir. Another one is going from the comfort of this world to the constraint of the akhir. Okay, think about those examples I gave you. And then, let me put the test. If I think I'm doing the right thing, then I should be able to raise my hand in dua and say, oh Allah, you know, I don't wanna die, but I'm asking you that, you know, if the best time for me to die is nearby, please just make me die. If you can say that, that means you're a good believer. If you can't wish for death in a good way, I'm not talking about committing suicide. All right, I don't want, you know, a report saying tomorrow there were 10 people from the Edmonton Mosque that committed suicide. Apparently, some Sheikh Hassan Ali told them that they can get closer to God. I don't want to start this, you know, Kool-Aid kind of thing, okay? So I'm asking you, look, in a good way, just as a tester for me, if I've done the right thing and I'm able to ask for death, that means I'm in a good place with Allah. And if I can't do that, that means I've got sins. I'm worried about. Yes or no? Tell me true or no, guys. That's what the Quran does to you. The Quran makes you think that what am I running from? Am I running from death? Well, if I'm running away from death and I don't want to come to death, then that's my problem. In fact, do you know, let me tell you, when you first start thinking of death, it scares you. And if you're not scared, then you're not thinking of death. Maybe you're thinking of a doll. If somebody thinks of death first time, so what? No. Think about it seriously. What the Quran has said. The Quran is Surah number 79. Beginning of Surah 79. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. The Quran talks about several angels coming at the time of death. They're either going to pull and rip the soul out, tear the soul out from the body, or they're going to gently pull it out. One of the two. Now, if I'm thinking of death properly, And Allah has told me in the Holy Quran, so let me give you a few parts of the Quran to think about what is the reality of death. So if I'm thinking about the ghamarat al-maut, there's a part of the Quran that talks about the pangs of death. So Allah says in Surah number 6, ayah number 93, Allah says, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ. If only you would see the moment when the people who are being cruel, who are doing injustice, who are oppressing, who are doing wrong. If only you saw the people who are doing wrong, if you saw them at the pangs of death, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُوا أَيْدِيهِمْ, and the angels are all spreading out their hands to receive this person. أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, take yourselves out from this body. الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ, today you will be given the reward of a very tormenting and very disgraceful and punishment that will put you down. بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ, because of the things that you used to say against Allah. غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ, that were not true. وَكُنْتُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهِ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ, and you used to be very proudly denying the verses of God. Think about that. That the angels are opening their arms. Now think about another one. Okay? Another one in Surah 23. This is Surah Al-Mu'minun. Ayah number 99 and 100. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Hatta idha jaa ahadahum al-maut. When death comes to one of them, and the person says, Rabbi, 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 my Lord, irji'un, let me go back. لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت كلا. He says, perhaps, oh Allah, for surely I'll be able to do the good deeds that I wasn't able to do. I left them behind. Sorry, my Lord, give me a chance to go back. Allah says, كلا. Never, never. إنها كلمة هو قائلها. This is just a statement the person is making at the time of death. ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون. And then behind them, once they die, there is going to be a time that is called barzakh, between death and between the day of judgment. And they will remain there in barzakh, which is illiyin or sijin, those two places, until they are resurrected for the day of judgment. فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. Allah says, once the horn has been blown into, then there will be no ancestry, no family members, no kinship, no kin ties, no connections of blood on the day of judgment. وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ, no one single family member will ever ask about another family member, how is he or where is he on the day of judgment. Imagine that. Now get the whole scenario in your mind. At the time of death, all these angels are surrounding me. I'm asking Allah for, you know, to go back. And that's it. I'm going straight one way. There's Allah says in the Holy Quran, لَا يَسْتَخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. You're not going to go 1 minute, 1 second back. You're not going to go 1 second ahead. And now I've got to face the fact that no more family is left. Because you know the connection of my mother, you think about it, yeah? The connection of my mother and father was only temporary. I was a soul, she was a soul. Just imagine this. I'm a soul, she's a soul. She's in this world already. I'm in another world as a soul. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla decides that He's going to pick me to become her son. I could have gone to any mother's womb, but He picks me. At 4 months, my 4 months of her pregnancy, at 4 months, so there's already fetus there. The ruh is brought down by an angel according to Hadith of Bukhari. It comes all the way down. So they've basically taken me all the way down. And then the angel comes, takes my soul, and then he blows me into the fetus. So I'm like air in a tube. I'm in that fetus right now. At 4 months, my soul is inside there. Now the connection Allah's made is, you're the son and she's the mother. So I come out of a womb after another 5 months. Then I'm the son, she's a mother, she loves me to bits, I love her to bits as well. But she loves me before. She does everything for me, she'll do anything for me. Why? Because that muhabba, that love was given by Allah as well. It's not, you know, you're not a lucky guy to just get love like that. You know, this is the Quran, honestly. Some people think, oh yeah, my mom's going to love me anyway. No. Some moms don't love their children. You know, some moms, when they give birth, they want to throw the baby away, or they don't want to see the baby again. It's a rare thing, but it does happen. Because when Musa alayhi salam, you know, when Allah was talking to Musa alayhi salam, he said, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. He said, oh Musa, don't forget the time when I put love into the hearts of your enemies that were going to kill you. Fir'aun saw him. Fir'aun said, what? No, sweet kid, sweet kid. He didn't know what sweet kid this one's going to be. He didn't know. But Allah put love in Fir'aun's heart. Fir'aun, if he wanted to kill him, he couldn't kill him. Because he loved this kid. For some reason, he just loved him. Later on, he hated him. He wanted to kill him. But when Allah puts a love there, you can't stop it. So that moment when I was in my mother's womb, I became her son. She became a mother. I stayed, maybe she stayed on the earth for another 50 years while I was alive. All right? Okay? I got to whatever age it was, and at 50, she became 70 or something, 75, so I'm 50, she died. My connection has broken there. There's still some connection because she goes into Illiyin or whatever it is. She might visit me in my dreams or whatever. She still has a connection. Now, when I die, both of us go to Illiyin. Let's just say I was good, she was good. Both of us go to Illiyin. She's my mother. I'm her son. Everything's very good. I meet my mother again. I meet my father again. I meet everyone again. Good. As soon as the day of judgment comes, it's like, yeah, cut. All of it's finished. Now she's a soul. She's not my mom anymore. She's just another soul. And I'm a soul. You were my mom. And you were my son. But today, there's no ancestry, there's no connection, there's no blood ties, there's nothing. We don't belong to each other, you're just a soul. I got to live in your body. No, you're not a body today, you're a soul today. The body that you had, I came in there at 4 months. And I was a fetus. I came in the fetus, that body, and the fetus was in your body. Then the fetus came out of your body. The fetus grew up to become a child and then an adult. And I was in that body, you was in that body, that's it. A connection was there that I'm your son, you're my mom, that's it. Today, that body's gone, your body's gone, I'm a soul, you're a soul. There's no connection.
Like a SIM card, you change the mobile.
SubhanAllah, brother gave a good example. SubhanAllah. I have to put this, he said, like a SIM card, you change the mobile, mashallah. Brilliant. Yeah? The Quran talks further. And the Quran tells us in Surah Waqi'ah, and you gotta capture all of these different parts together and understand. Allah says in the Holy Quran, Surah number 56, ayah number 60. نَحْنُ قَدَّرْنَا بَيْنَكُمُ الْمَوْتَ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ. I as Allah have written your death date, and you will never go beyond the time that I have set for you. A lot of people, you know, walk, you know, their birthday. Oh, I'm 7 years old, I'm 8 years old, I'm 20 years old, birthday. Birthday is something that this world knows. Death date is something that the next world knows. I've got a death date on me, which I can't see, you can't see. That death date is there, and that's fixed. Now, the good thing is, the time of death can change. A lot of people don't know this, but the time of death, you can change it. You can actually change the time of your death. So let's say, for example, it was fixed that you're going to get, you know, you're going to die. Let's just say, let's give a random date, okay? 2027. 2027, you're going to die on April the 9th. I don't want you guys to think, oh my God, he just jinxed my death. Right? I don't want you to think like that, okay? So imagine Allah Azza wa Jalla has written that a date for you. 9th of April, 2027, and the exact time. It's going to be like 9:44 a.m. and 56.... seconds, right? This person's going to be dead, right? Now, what happens is the Quran has told us, this is in Surah number 35, ayah number 11. The Quran says, وَمَا يُعَمَّرُ مِن مُعَمَّرٍ وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْ عُمُرِهِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ. No person is given an extra amount of life, and no person has a deduction in their life except it is written in the book. So what's written in the book is, if me and you do good actions on this earth and Allah likes it, Allah then changes the death date. He says, no, I want him to live longer, so I'm going to make him live till 2035. and the death date changes, or 2029.
Loyalty promotion.
Mashallah, brother's got the lyrics there. Mashallah, it's good. Yeah, but if I'm being bad, good in two ways. Good in terms of the akhirah, the amal I do, and good in terms of how I look after my body. If I'm looking after my body and so on, that can also make it increase. Bad in terms of the bad actions I do. Like if I'm not behaving properly, bad actions. Or if I'm spoiling my lungs with drugs and cigarettes and God knows what. Then yes, that will also have an effect. It will have an effect in where your death date ends up. So bad in terms of the akhir, the amal and the actions of the akhir, and bad in terms of my health. Allah's changing the dates. Now if you want to live longer, then do good actions. Do good actions, be good. Because it is very, very clear in the Quran and according to the hadith that death date does change. And Allah Azza wa Jalla can change it anytime He wants, and that's a bonus for me if that is the case. But I don't know, but that date is written for me. Now when birthdays come, people get so excited that I'm this much older. But you're looking at the wrong end of the clock. You have this sand, what they call the clocks that have sand in it, what do you call them? The sand timers, right? The sand timer, when you turn it over, then there's more sand at the top, there's less at the bottom. Yeah? Right? What you're looking at is you're looking at the bottom. You're thinking, wow, it just got bigger. And bigger. And each birthday got bigger. Didn't it? You're supposed to look at the top. In the sand timer, you're supposed to keep your eyes at the top, not the bottom. Because if you're getting excited, it's getting more and more at the bottom. What's happening at the top? It's getting less and less. And once that last drop of sand goes, no more birthday. Why you been celebrating all your birthdays all your life? I don't get this. Why are you celebrating? What you're actually saying is, I know people get excited, like, I'm now 25, I'm now 26, I'm now... I know people get excited, right? But there's nothing to be excited about, really. Because what you're trying to say is, if you reverse it, it's like, okay, let's say, for example, I'm dying at 50. And I become 20 years old. I'm like, I'm 20. No, you've only got 30 left. I'm 25. No, you've only got 25 left. I'm 30. No, now you've got 20 only left. I'm 40. You've only got 10 left. I'm 45. You've got 5 left, mister. I'm 49. You're only 1 year closer to your death. You're going to be dead next year. I'm 50. You got no more birthdays left. If you change it around, you're losing time. You're not gaining time. So the concept of death for a believer is absolutely necessary. Look what the Quran says. The Quran says, "Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut." Every single one of you will be tasting death. Everyone, no one can escape this. In fact, Allah said in the Holy Quran, so Allah Azza wa Jalla said, and this is for people who think that, you know what, I'm going to find a way to make myself live very, very long. Right. In fact, Allah said already in the Holy Quran. Let me just give you this ayah first. This is in the 17th juz of the Quran. Allah says, "Wama ja'alna li basharin min qablika al-khuld." This is in Surah 21, ayah number 34. Allah says, "No human being ever before you was given an eternal life." Just think about it. No human ever was given eternal life. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Holy Quran that if you want to escape death, so what are you going to do? You're going to try and get into some place where death can't get to you. So Allah says in the Holy Quran, this is Surah number 4, ayah number 78. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Doesn't matter where you go, death will find you. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. Even if you were to make massive towers, like Burj Al Khalifa, like, these biggest towers in the whole of the world, right? Massive towers. And Allah says, بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. It's proper, it's become a fortress. Like you got wall after wall after wall surrounding you. You probably got, you know, people when they get really rich and they got a house or something, they create an escape room. You know, people get really rich. They create one room in the house where it's called the escape room. So what they do is that in that room, you get inside, you press a button, the door shut, and then you're safe in there for till the police come to you. You could be in there for days and days. You got all your food in there. You got all your protection, your toilets in there, everything. But they can't come inside this room. You guys understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. People create all sorts of things. Allah says you can build that, even then death will come to you. In fact, subhanAllah al-Azim, I think Malcolm X said this. Malcolm X, he was told that, you know, be careful. He was told, be careful. You know, you're probably going to go down this way. He said, don't go this way, go that way. Be careful. Because they wanted to kill him. So Malcolm X said a wonderful thing. He said, if a man has choice of going down five lanes, if a man has a choice of going down five different lanes, and he says, you know what, I think death is in this one. And he goes down this one. He said, if it's the time of death, you're going to find it in this one. He's going to be waiting for you at the end there. So it doesn't matter which pathway you take, at the end of it, you're going to find the death waiting for you there. So what's the point of you trying to make all these plans to escape death? When the time of death comes, you're going to die anyway. Now, some of you sitting there are going to be thinking, whoa, Sheikh, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Yeah? Some people want to die now. SubhanAllah, you're 72, are waiting for you, bruv. Then if you want to go right now, take it easy, yeah? The thing is, look, if you're thinking, well, I don't want to die right now, what you've got to think of is that maut is going to come in two colors. It's going to come in two colors. Either complete bright white, or it's going to come in complete darkness. Black, dark, or white. Now, some of you might think, well, that's racist. It's not racist. In this world, we have skin colors that are black, white, brown, yellow, pink, whatever you want to say. Yeah, you call these colors, and then we get racist. I'm white. I'm above you. You're black. I'm black, and you be racist to me, and all the kind of stuff, right? If you're a black person in this world, and you think, why is it that the angel of death comes horribly in black? Jahannam's fire is black, and the people on the day of judgment, if they've done wrong, they're black faces. And why is it if you do right, then angel of death is white. The faces in the day of judgment that done good is white. Jannah is white. You guys understand? Yeah, it sounds racist, right? No. It's not racist. Why? Because when a white man is sinful in this world, he comes off on the day of judgment as a black man. I'm being honest with you. When a black man is good on this earth, he comes up on the day of judgment as a white man. This is serious. So all colors, brown, black, white, pink, yellow, whatever, if you're good, there's only one color, white, for you. And if you're bad, whether you're brown, black, white, pink, whatnot, when you come on the day of judgment, you've been bad, you're black. And that's how Allah's going to keep you on the day of judgment. In fact, it's not going to be just black. Allah said in the Holy Quran, He said that it's as if the darkest part of the night has been smited onto their faces. The darkest part of the night has been smited onto their faces. Let me give you the verse for this. Is in the 11th Juz. All right. So this is Surah number 10 and Ayah number 27. كَأَنَّمَا أُغْشِيَتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ قِطَعًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مُظْلِمًا. The darkest night you can find, the darkest, like you barely can see, and you can't see anything. You can't see your finger, you can't see anything. That's the color Allah will give all sinners and all deniers and all people who denied this message, all of them will have the same color. And if you've been good, then Allah Azza wa Jalla has said in the Holy Quran, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ. There's going to be bright faces. In fact, another one I'll give you from Surah Qiyamah, which is in the 29th juz of the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Wujuhun yawma idhin nadhira," the day when faces will be absolutely delighted, ila rabbiha nadhira, to their Lord they're going to be looking. And this is, you know, there's going to be complete bliss and so on. This is Surah number 75, Ayah number 20, 22 and 23. Anyway, the thing is, you're thinking, well, you know, this whole thing I said, right, about angels. Angels are going to come either white, bright, or they're going to come black as you've ever seen. So if you're scared to die right now, you need to start thinking, if I'm good, then I'm looking forward to white angels coming to me at the time of my death. If I'm doing my tawbah, the biggest thing you got to do is just update your tawbah. When you've heard what I'm talking about, I've got about 10 minutes left. When you've heard what I've said, you update your tawbah. You update, look, Allah, I'm going to do my best not to sin again. I'm going to do my best to follow you. That's it. Your tawbah is updated. And carry on seeking forgiveness for whatever you've done wrong. Then you do your best to be a good Muslim. And if I'm a good Muslim, then at the time of death, it's going to be all white angels, 500 white angels coming to me. I'm trying to take me out. What's bad about that? Now, if I'm not updating my tawbah, if I'm still sinning, then I've got to think there's 500 black, dark, now listen, this is why death is an antidote. Because if you think of death, oh my God, I'm not doing the right thing, death's going to come to me, and it's going to take me out of this body, and they're going to be dark, and what did the Quran say? If they come black, right, then you've got a different scenario. So let's talk about if they come as white, what happens to you? If they come as white, because the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the believer's death, and he said the believer's death is like, you know, when you have a jug. Imagine you have a jug. A beautiful example the Prophet gave. Beautiful example. I think, wow, this is why Allah made him the Prophet. This is like wahi, revelation. Think, how can you think of a better example? Look, he said, when you take a jug and you pour something, and then you tilt the jug back straight, you put it straight, there's a small drop at the end of the spout of the jug. That small drop moves slowly towards the belly of the jug, and then it goes all the way down to the bottom, very smoothly. Yes or no, guys? Very delicately and smoothly. If you don't watch it, you don't even realize that little drop went all the way down. He said, that's how delicately angel of death will take your soul out of your body. Wow. Now, if I'm being good, I imagine that's me, inshallah. Say inshallah. Inshallah. Yes. You should think, if you've been doing good, you know, have a good thought about it. So in fact, the Prophet said, let not one of you die except having good thoughts about Allah. Like, always have good thoughts about Allah. Like, you know, I'm doing my best. I've renewed my tawbah. What else am I supposed to do? Okay, I messed up. I sinned, whatever. But I've renewed my tawbah and I'm back trying to do the best I can. And you imagine, subhanAllah, that's how delicately they will take out. And he gave an example of a bad soul in the same hadith of Ahmad. He said, have you been to a thorny bush where a piece of a string has got tied in that thorny bush all over? You're trying to get the string out of the thorny bush. You can't get it out. The only way to get the string out is to rip the whole string with all the thorns, rip it out. That's how you're going to do it. And that's how the angel of death takes out the bad souls if there's 500 black angels that come. Now, what did the Quran say? The Quran spoke about a very harsh death for those people who haven't prepared for the afterlife when it comes to their death. And it says, this is in Surah Muhammad, Surah number 47, Ayah number 27. Allah says, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا تَوَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. So what will their situation be when the angels come to take the souls out of their bodies? يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ. The angels will come with metal hammers. These are metal hammers we don't see. These are metal hammers that are invisible. These are metal hammers that hit and strike the soul. They will bash first the back, that one's bottom, they'll bash that so the soul comes out a little bit out. It always comes out through the mouth. So it comes out a little bit out, then another angel will smack it and smash it with another hammer this way and smash it back inside. Another one will smash it from behind, from my back and out. Another one smashes from there, then back in, then back from there. يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَ. Bang, 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 bang. Now if you go through that and you think that if I'm doing bad, my God, these angels. And you know these angels, they have no mercy. Like if you think, You're in front of anyone in this world, the cruelest guy, whatever, you still can get some way through. Like, I've seen people, like, you know, they've been stuck in airports, their passport's not right, their visa's not there, their this, that documentation not there, then they stand there, they don't want to be deported. So please, don't go. Even if they're, please, I want to seek asylum, I want to do this, please, if I go back, they're going to beat me, they're going to hurt me, I've got people there, you've got civil war, you know, people like that in the airport. And they'll do their absolute best to beg them, to cry, to whatever. And in the end, you know what? Even the most hard-hearted immigrant officer, sometimes they feel sorry for these guys. Okay, look, okay. I'll keep you in a detention center for 3 months, whatever. I'll put you in a camp for 3 months. I'll put you in a zone where we've got all the other, you know, migrants there. Okay, I'm going to leave you there, okay? They have some kind of mercy. With the angel of death, there is absolutely no mercy. There's no begging, there's no crying, there's nothing. Only one that can release me, can release you, is Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, when I go through this and I think, wow, that's a reality. I'll tell you one thing, right? You guys have been hearing me for the last 50 minutes. Do you actually feel right now the love of the world? Tell me right now, do you feel the love of the world? Yes or no? No, come here. Do you guys feel the love of the world right now? Yes or no? Tell me. Do you feel it right now? Oh yeah, I love the world. I don't know what this guy's talking about, man. Don't know what I'm talking about, huh? Or do you actually feel that there's a concept of this is so real, this is going to happen to me. Either I'm going to see white angels taking me out just like that drop, you know, falling down the spout of the jug, or I'm going to be teared out and beaten. Do you actually feel that right now? Yes or no? Yes. That's the dhikrul maut. When you do that, you know what? This, when you look around, you think, this is nothing. After that, when you hear, let's say, you know, someone, you know, nagging behind you, or someone's, yeah, whatever, or you hear this problem, that problem, you know what? These problems are much smaller than my big problem. Yes or no, guys? Yes. That's why some of the Salaf, I'm going to be very honest with you. That's why some of the Salaf, they cried the whole night thinking about death. Imagine, you know, we get excited. Like, we get excited when we have one or two tears. Like some brother in Taraweeh, he cries, right? And then after that, he kind of feels that he's entered Jannah. So I'm like, listen, bruv, okay, you done well, you cried. There's some guy after Jum'ah, when there's a very emotional lecture, when there's some kind of dua or something, people get, you know, those, especially when people go to the haram or something, and the imam's in dua, the Kaaba's there, people get emotional and they cry. Bruv, there's only a few tears. I know it's a lot for you, but that's only a few tears. The pious and righteous people in the past, and I'm not making this up, there are hundreds of accounts of these people who cried and cried and cried, just thinking what's going to happen to them. Even though they were very good. Even though they were doing all the a'mal and everything else, they still cried. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, you know, different sahaba had different ayats. That when they read those ayats, they're terrified. Some when they remembered Day of Judgment. Some when they remembered the bridge. Okay? Some when they remembered death. So for example, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he used to cry. They said that he would cry all night on this one verse. This is in Surah Rahman. He would recite this verse in his tahajjud. So these verses. Surah number 55, ayah number 37. فَإِذَا انشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ. When the whole sky will split and it will become like pink, or it will become colored like the color of, you have an oily type of color. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which one of the gifts that your Lord gave you throughout your entire lives, which one of those are you denying? فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذَنْبِهِ إِنْسٌ وَلَا جَانٌ. On that day, no human being, no jinn, none of them will be in a way in a situation where they won't be thinking about their own sins that they've done. No, the biggest worry on that day is going to be, you know, before you come to Allah Azza wa Jal, what is my questioning going to be like? What is Allah going to ask me from all the things I did in the dunya? What is He going to ask me? And am I going to fail in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, or am I going to pass? He would spend the whole night crying when he would reach these verses. They say about our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, there's an ayah in Surah Maryam that she came across, or she would come across, and she would cry all night. Imagine this, right? Crying and crying and crying and crying, and just standing in front of Allah and just crying and reading this ayah over and over and over again. So this is an ayah, Surah Maryam, Surah number 19, ayah number 71. وَإِن مِّنكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. Every one of you will pass by, will come down to the place where you have to get onto the bridge to cross over Jahannam and get to Jannah. Every one of you will have to come down. It's like, you know, when you, let's say for example, you know when there's a big bridge, right? Sometimes you have to come down to the mouth of the bridge, then you have to get up and cross the whole of the bridge and go to the other side to the bottom, and then you get to your destination where you want to get to. So when you come down, normally like in a bridge where it's crossing water, there's just water there. Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, when you get down to the mouth of the bridge, there's Jahannam there. There's actually the fire of hell. So you're coming close to the fire of hell, having to get onto the bridge and then climb the bridge to get to Jannah. When she would recite this verse and remember that time, she would just cry and cry and cry and cry. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he would come to the grave. When he came to the grave to visit the graves, he would cry till his whole beard is wet. And he would do this again and again. And somebody said to him, why are you crying like that? You cry so much when you come to graves. Why is that? He said, this is the first station after the dunya. This grave is the first station after dunya. If this station is good, if I'm good in my grave, then every station after that, illiyin, going to Day of Judgment, going over the bridge, going to Jannah, every station is going to be easy. But if this first station goes bad, then all of them are going to be bad after that. And that's why he cried so much. Now, the reason why I've chosen this particular subject for today, which is the remembrance of death, is because you know I'm going to say this one last ayah and then I'm going to summarize the whole thing. This ayah tells us this, subhanAllah. You know, when people don't think about death, our hearts become hard. When you don't think about death, the heart becomes hard. And then you become a sinner. If you think about death, the heart becomes soft, then you can't sin. Okay, this is in the Quran. This is in the 27th juz of the Quran in Surah Al-Hadid. Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, and this ayah I'm going to say, and then we finished. This is Surah number 57, ayah number 16. Allah says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Allah says, hasn't the time come for the believers that their hearts should soften to the remembrance of Allah? And it should soften to the revelation, the truth that I've revealed, the Quran I've revealed. Hasn't the time come for the believers' hearts to soften to my remembrance and to the Quran? وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Hasn't the time come that these believers should not become like the people of the past who I gave them the book? I gave them the book, I gave them the Torah, I gave them the Injil. Then a long life was given to them, because we know from our sources that the Banu Israel had long lives. Banu Israel had, sometimes they used to live up to 300 years. Sometimes they used to live long lives, longer than us. Their lives were long. فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Then their hearts became hard. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Then many of them became sinners. When I think that my life is going to be long and death is not in the scene, I'm not thinking about death. That's the moment that you can enjoy sin. Can you enjoy sin if the angel of death is sitting there watching you? Imagine this. I'm sitting here and na'udhu billah, I'm doing something wrong here. Angel of death is just there. Literally, I can see him. He's sitting there. He's watching me with his eyes. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to carry on. Am I going to carry on? La ilaha illallah. Just like some guy asked the sheikh. He said, if I'm doing salah in the desert, And if a lion passes in front of me, is my salah going to be broken? He said, if you still have wudu, then no. If you still have wudu, then no. Anyway, guys, jazakumullah khair. Listen, jazakumullah khair wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.
الحاملات سنا ونور والرسمات هنا سرور يا حلوى تلك السنين.
The Safar curriculum covers all the Islamic educational needs of young Muslims today in a fun, simple and engaging way. Tried and tested for over 15 years at one of the UK's leading maktabs. The curriculum has been adopted by hundreds of institutions around the world and makes your child's journey in seeking knowledge easy, meaningful and dynamic. This innovative and comprehensive curriculum covers Quran and Tajweed, Islamic studies, du'as and surahs, as well as Arabic in an integrated and structured way. Visit safarpublications.org to find out more.